All right, let's have all the choir get up. The choir will start the service in about 3 minutes. Testimony tonight. 125. 125. We're going to invite you to take a hymnal.
We'll stand and sing Jesus is Coming Again, 125. Now, marvelous message we bring. Glory to God we sing.
Coming again. He said he was. He said, if I wasn't, I'd have told you so. Amen. I'm glad he's coming again. Aren't you? Appreciate that good singing tonight. God bless you. Good to see all of you here. The visitors got several packs. Come on up, Brother John. You good? Brother John, dying to get up the choir. So we're going to give him a chance to run up there right quick. Oh, good to have all the pastors here, several preachers from the area here. I'm so glad you came. We'll recognize them in just a moment. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing on the service. And then when we're through, you can be seated and the choir will sing another number. Good to have Brother Kevin Rogerson from over at Joel Baptist Church with his girls and son. Y'all can sing one tonight, can't you? That's what. When in doubt, go to the man who talks for the group. Amen. The business manager. No, Brother Kevin, how about lead us in prayer, would you?
Amen. Amen. choir. Well, we're going to give you a chance. We've got a lot of visitors tonight. Thank you for being here. We're going to give you a chance to stand and have a little time of fellowship and let the choir come down. So let's stand and do a little handshake.
Thank you so much, choir, for the good singing tonight. Appreciate all of you being here. Thank God for good music. And that may sound a little biased, but I am. I'll just admit to that. I'd say we got a pretty good choir, some good singers, and I'm glad to have the Robinson girls here with us. And they sang at the Jubilee the other day, and they came in, and we always want to hear from them when they come and visit with us. But before they sing, all the preachers stand up. If you're a pastor, preacher, man, I better throw that in there just in case. Yeah. These days, that's about right. All right over here, of course, Brother Kevin. Go ahead. All right. God bless you, Brother Kevin. I wonder if you go stand up there, bud.
Brother Aaron Martin, twisted my arm to stand up. But I'm a member here at your Baptist church.
Amen. You've been called to preach, haven't you?
Amen.
Then we shouldn't have twist your arm. Go ahead, Brother Brian. Amen, Brian. Amen, Brother Gary. Good to have you and your family here. Amen. God bless you, Gabe. Good to see you. Amen.
Charles Scarlett, him out of Baptist Church, Gaston.
Amen. Good to have you, Brother Charles. This is Shelton's mother and dad. Good to have them here tonight. Brother Rick, this is Brian's and Devin's pastor. And so we're glad to have Brother Rick here, God, and his wife, Miss Vicki. Scott Cowick. We all know about Scott Cowick, the Roadrunner. We've had, every time I have him come preach, I have to change the carpet on the platform. He wears a hole in it. He tried to wear a hole in me a long time ago. Almost succeeded too. But love Brother Scott, and he's been here several times, friend. Good to have Joaquin back. You did notice that the choir had a little more sauce to it tonight. Brother Joaquin's been out in Oregon helping his daughter get moved. And his son-in-law is in the Marine Corps down in San Diego, but she's, I guess, going to live in Oregon with his family or near his family. Of course, their grandson, Nico, their first child. And so glad that he's able to get back this morning. We miss Brother Joaquin when he's not here. All of you preachers, thank you so much for taking, because we've got meetings going on all over the county, seems like, this week. And so I appreciate you taking the time to come over here tonight. I appreciate it, and I know Brother Brian will too. Well, we're glad to have the Rogerson girls here with us. What a blessing they are. Been listening to them sing since they were all just little old gals. Now they're grown gals. And so you pray for them while they sing, okay? Sisters who's been battling with cancer. How's she doing, by the way, Brother Kevin? Good, good. You pray for her. She's got a long road with that and just a little girl, but pray for her. All right, we're going to take the offering now. Go ahead and get that out of the way. So come on, ushers. And while they're coming, a couple things I want to mention to you that I think will interest you. Number one, I was going down the road today and Martha called me. Martha was all a flutter. And I didn't know what in the world was going on. And she said, "Preacher, I got to give you some good news. I don't get calls like that very often." And so I said, "Tell me about it." So it seems that a young man, well, he's what did you say, was 38 now? 37. But he, at one time, he was a neighbor to Martha and them. And anyway, he called her today just broken and felt like his life was kind of out of control. And he remembered Miss Richardson. Now, by the way, that's why it's important to maintain your testimony. And so he called Miss Richardson and began to talk to her about the burden and the load. And she began to witness to him on the phone. And I guess I think I'm telling this right, Martha. They hung up. Oh, it was text. It wasn't even on. It was texting. Whew. That took me 3 weeks. Yeah, okay. And so they texted. And then he texted back a little bit later and said, he told her, said, Miss Martha, said, I gave my heart totally to Jesus today. And his name is Chad Peek. And it's actually Miss Ruby Peek's maybe nephew, somewhere down the line there, but related to Miss Ruby. And he was working. When I got word of it, he was at work, so I couldn't go. But I've got his phone number, so we're going to call him and let him know that we're here and want him to come to church and, you know, try to get him grounded. And so you pray for Chad Peek. And then I got Brother Brian and I were on our way. By the way, I appreciate Brother Aaron and Sister Lenora feeding the pastor, the preacher tonight, myself and Miss Judy, and then Brother Brian and his family. We fellowshiped at their home tonight. Thank you so much for providing that. Had a good time. On the way back, my phone rang. Brian and I were in the car, and I have that Bluetooth, so I answered it. And this lady on the phone, and she just started right. I said, my name's Trish, and you ladies in the Jubilee. I didn't even tell Judy this yet. Anyway, she said, my name's Trish Longfoot. And she said, me and my little boy have just moved here from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. And said they live in Lake Carolina. Said they'd been going to a church across town for a while, and a pretty good-sized church, and said the little boy is 6 years old. Now, you know, my little boy said, Mom, I'd like to go somewhere with a little smaller group. Now, he's a six-year-old. And they have rode by the church here many times, but here's what she told us. She said, I had to go to a pain management clinic today, and I went up to pay the bill, and I realized all I had was a check. I didn't have any cash. I didn't have a debit card. All I had was a check. And the lady at the counter said, ma'am, we don't accept checks. You know, it's either cash or debit card or credit. Said, I didn't have anything but a check. Said, and a lady walked up behind me and said, the Lord told me to do this for you, and paid her bill. And so they got to talking, and the lady and this Ms. Longfoot asked the lady, where do you go to church? She said, I go to church like 30 or 40 minutes away somewhere. She named the name. I don't remember it. Anyway, and here's what the lady said. She said, the lady looked at me and said, but I was at a ladies' meeting Saturday. And she said, I think you'd enjoy Anchor Baptist Church. She said, I looked it up online and got your phone number, and I wanted to call you. Now, she's from Pennsylvania. She's a Yankee. Because all the time I was talking to her, you know, I'm just used to saying, yes, ma'am. You know, yes, ma'am. Finally, she said, don't call me ma'am. My name's Trish, not ma'am. And so the rest of the time, she'd say something and say, yes, Trish. I mean, I just had to catch myself. But anyway, so they're going to come Sunday and visit with us and live right here late. So there you go, lady. That Jubilee does pay off. I mean, I'm telling you. And a lady just, you know, because they were so far away, decided to recommend Anchor. So I appreciate that. I thought that was a good thing about the Jubilee. It's worth doing. It's always worth doing. Amen. So I just wanted to tell you those. I thought that was a blessing. It's always good to get some good news on days like this. And so we're thankful that God has seen fit to do that. All right, the offering tonight, everything you give goes to the visiting evangelist. So give as you can. If you cannot or already have, then please do not worry about it. But we appreciate the way you're giving. But if you can give something tonight, and then tomorrow night as well. Tomorrow night's the last service at 7 o'clock. So I hope that you'll give as you can. All right, Brother Joaquin. Good to have Brother Joaquin back. I was afraid he was going to go out there and stay. But glad to have him back here with us. You pray for the offering, would you?
Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be back in your house, Lord. Thank you for all the independence, bless the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
by popular demand. We had a ladies' trio sing last night, Bethany and Brittany from this church, and Taryn from Old Paths. And so they're going to sing again, not the same song. They've got another one ready. If they do real well on this one, they're thinking about a bus and photos and albums and all that stuff. Ladies, sing for us. And then right after that, the Anchor Trio will sing before Brother Brian comes.
When he walks among us, all that he does, all of his mercy and all of his love, if the pen of the writer could write every day, not even his words could ever contain how I have been blessed. Warmth in the winter, flowers in spring, laughter in summer, the changing of leaves. Food on my table, a good place to sleep. Clothes on my back, and shoes on my feet. Oh, I have been blessed. So good to me, precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so memories made, our pastor to lead us, this altar to pray, and stripes that can heal, and a blood that still saves. Oh, I have been blessed. Arms that will raise, and a voice that can talk, hands that can touch, and legs that can walk, ears that can listen, and eyes that can see. Oh, I've got to praise Him as long as I breathe, 'cause I have been blessed. We live in a country, the greatest on earth. Our flag stands for freedom and what it is worth. She stands in the harbor, Miss Liberty calls. All have gave some, and some gave it all for me to be blessed. Of you and me, no way I could count them, there's not enough time, so I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good, I have been shoulder to lean on when I am down, a rock where He leads me when I'm overwhelmed, the place where He hides me. just a song. He's the reason I sing. Oh, I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. God has been good, so
disappointed in Jesus.
And
doubt has never crossed my mind, for in Him the thought I find.
I've been
discouraged with my family, forsaken by some friends. But I've never been disappointed in Him.
I've been given many things. I've had them taken all away. But the gift of God is still mine today. Men may give their words, but they don't follow through. But I have found every promise, for His word is true.
Been disappointed in Jesus.
And doubt has
never crossed my mind, for in Him the thought I find.
I've been
discouraged with some family, forsaken by some friends. Disappointed in Him. I've never been. I've never been. I've never been disappointed in
Thank you for that good singing. That's good singing, amen. I've never been disappointed in Jesus. That's right. He sure has been disappointed in me, I can tell you that. You know, in these ball teams and stuff, when they see somebody they want, they think can add to the team, they trade. I've got an idea, Brother Brian. We'll trade Taryn for Ralph Hale. Now, Ralph's a little beyond his playing years, but he's faithful. He's faithful like a good hunting dog. Ralph, I hate to say this, but Brian just said it wasn't worth the trade. I'm sorry. No, we wouldn't trade Ralph Hale for nothing in this world, I'll tell you right now. All right, Brian. Come on, Brother Brian. Amen. We've so enjoyed having Brother Brian here with us this week. Last night's message on Leah and Rachel, what a great message it was. And man, I'll tell you, God just blessed our hearts and spoke to a lot of hearts. And you know, you can tell when messages are speaking to hearts because during this week, I've heard a lot of people mentioning or restating things that he said in messages that he's preached, meaning they heard it, meaning that it's taken some root. And that's what it's all about. You know, if the Word of God is not the Word of God, then it's a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Doesn't mean much. Anybody can tinkle a cymbal, but not very many people can preach the Word of God. And then if you're not where you ought to be, you won't get it right. But I tell you, Brother Brian has sure helped us this week. And what a joy it's been to have him here tonight. And then again tomorrow night. Be the last night of the meeting, but we're so grateful to have him here. And he's the pastor of the Old Paths Bible Baptist Church in Peachland, North Carolina. Brother Brian Gurley, you come on, preach to us what the Lord's laid on your heart, brother.
Amen. Amen. All right, thank you. All right, Genesis chapter number 31. I'm extremely nervous. He's talking about tinkling cymbals. I was a little nervous and he used the restroom just about before I got up here. But that's just what comes to my mind anyway. Oh, well. Y'all say tinkling, nobody says that around here. Well, Brother Hale, we take you, you know, we take you down there at Peachland. We take you and your wife if you will come down there. We not just Brother Hale, he packs. He's liable to shoot you for talking like that. Well, maybe I shouldn't have said the thing about thinking that kind of threw a damper. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad I'm saved. And thanks for the singing. The singing is top of the line here, the choir and the specials. I know you work hard to do that. We love Brother Tim and Miss Jennifer. Of course, they come down and helped our choir a little bit or helped our singing. And we sure appreciate them. Brother Martin, I want to tell you thank you. Brother Martin and his wife had us over there today to eat. And Brother Martin cooked for us. And their children, the Martin family to me is top of the line. I don't know a better, probably a better family, better kids. Their kids are full of life, so respectful. Noriah come up to me. She said, Brother Gurley, your messages have just been so great this week. I've really just hung on to everything you said. I don't know. She kept holding on. I think she's sincere. I think she's such a blessed kid, so respectful. I sure thank you for letting us come over to your home. Appreciate my pastor being here, Miss Vicky. Appreciate them. They're always trying to get around if I'm preaching. Always been a blessing to me. I don't know if anybody's any wiser than my pastor, and I'm thankful for him. And I got saved in a church of God, and when I got saved, I was just ready to go. Just go 100 mile an hour and just didn't matter who I ran over doing it and who I left behind doing it. And Lord know I needed Faith Baptist Church. I needed my pastor to help me. And I still need help a lot of times. A lot of times I still get probably too much zeal, not enough knowledge, but I sure thankful for my pastor who's a real blessing, Brother Scott being here. And my dad, I thank my dad for being here. My dad's been back and forth since Sunday. I know my mom would be here. She's has to work, but taking care of our boys and driving them back and forth, it's a real blessing. He's always, even when I was a kid playing ball, I can't think of, I don't know of a ball game I've ever played in my life and my daddy not been there on the sidelines. And been with me. And man, that makes a big difference, don't it, when somebody has a daddy like that. And when I got saved, I didn't want to tell nobody because I always wanted to. I didn't want to be a. I was so scared of being a hypocrite. That's why I didn't get saved for a little while. And so after when I got saved on a Sunday morning, I really didn't say nothing to nobody because I wanted to make sure it really changed my life before I started talking about it. I didn't want to be the same person. And really, for a couple of weeks, I don't even remember a whole lot of what I did. But then they had a Father's Day type of service or a meeting on a Saturday, and I asked them to go with me. And I remember going. I remember that guy talking about the difference that a daddy makes. And he had you rate your daddy on a scale of 1 to 10. He'd ask you questions. You know, he'd ask you, have you ever seen your daddy drink? Have you ever seen your daddy do that? And my daddy scored a perfect score on that. And nobody knew about that thing but me. And he said, and the guy who was talking, he said, to whom much is given, much is required. And I think rung my bell that God sure has been good to me. And He's always placed good people in my life. And I'm thankful for that. Lord's been good to me. He's been good to my family. And I'm thankful for this place. Thankful for this church, brother. Kircher's been a friend to me. And I sure love the Lord this evening. Let's stand and let's pray together. I'll try to give you something that stands out to me. I hope it makes sense. I was nervous about preaching some typology and stuff. I don't know if people will latch on. I hear some typology and I think, what in the world were you drinking the night before you come up with some of that stuff? So I try not to, unless there's good verses to back it up in the Bible. I don't like doing it. And to me, this makes perfect sense. But I want to convey that. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I do thank you for your word. I thank you for allowing me to preach. Lord, it's a blessing, and Lord, it's a big responsibility. And Lord, I ask you for help. I sure desire for you to really, you do the preaching, and Lord, just let me be a vessel, be used. And Lord, I sure love this place. I love Anchor Baptist Church. I love Preacher Rick, Miss Judy. Lord, their family. Lord, the members here. Lord, they're a blessing. They've been such an encouragement to us, and I sure love them. I want to be a help to them. And Lord, I sure want the best for them. And I ask you, Lord, please use your word. Please use your word to help us tonight. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The last couple nights have been kind of a little bit heavy, a little bit hard, probably, I guess. Brother, somebody said I felt like they were punched in the face. And then another guy said he felt like dirt. I got a text from a guy last week. He said, I'm leaving the church. He said, I felt like I was having a good day in the Lord. I come to your service and you made me feel like dirt. And so I'm not coming back. So I guess I have the tendency to preach that way. And I sure don't want to hurt nobody. That's for sure. This thing in chapter 31, I want to look at Jacob again. We've been going through Genesis in our church. We just kind of go verse by verse. That's how we try to do it. And before we ever did this, I didn't like the stories of Jacob. Some of them were so strange to me going into it. I didn't really understand it, I guess, like I should. Coming in right before chapter 31, we talked about chapter 29 where Jacob was choosing between Leah and Rachel, and we talked about that. And then the end of that chapter 29 through chapter number 30, he starts to have children has them with Leah. Has them with Leah's handmaid, then with Rachel, and the whole family to me, it's a mess if you start looking at all that stuff. So he has all these children, and then during chapter 30, he goes to Laban and says, all right, I've worked, I've served, I have my family now, I have servants, I have cattle, I'm ready to go. And Laban doesn't want him to go because Laban knows that all the blessings that he has come because of Jacob. So he don't want him to go. So Jacob says, all right, I'm going to go one more round taking care of your cattle, and we're going to split the thing up. And they have this deal where Laban takes all the white cattle. If they're white, it's going to be given to Laban. Jacob says, I'll take everything that's not white. I mean, he took the lesser. He took the ones really that nobody wanted, it seems to me, ones that are spotted, those that had ring strakes and all those things there in that chapter. Well, he takes says, I'll take them. Well, Laban separates them because everything that comes out that's speckled and spotted, that's going to go to Jacob. Everything that's perfectly white is going to go to Laban. Laban takes his and says, I don't want you mingling with mine. I want them to be pure. I want them to be right. And so Jacob takes those cattle out and he takes a rod and puts it in the water. You ought to read the story if you don't know. It's a great story. It's a miracle of God what happened with that rod. And it's a good picture of Christ. Long story short, Jacob ends up with more cattle, stronger cattle. God really blesses Jacob. And he leaves Laban behind with weaker things, with not as much cattle. And so when you get to chapter number 21, watch what happens here. The Bible says, and he heard, that's Jacob. Jacob heard the words of Laban's son saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was of our father's hath he gotten all his glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not towards him as before. Well, Laban has let his sons think that Jacob has come in and stole all his cattle and stole from Laban, when the fact is that's not true at all. The truth is, Laban had very little before Jacob ever set foot on that property. And because of Jacob, God said to Abraham, and that promise was passed on to Abraham, Isaac, and then to Jacob, he says, I'm going to bless them that bless you. And you understand there are blessings that were given to Jacob, and because Jacob lived with Laban, God blessed Laban. In fact, if you look back at chapter 30, just look at this quickly, in verse number 29, this is Jacob speaking. He says, and he said unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee and how thy cattle was with me. For it was little which thou hadst before I came, and is now increased into a multitude, and the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming, and now when shall I provide for my own house also? It says right there, Jacob told him in the last chapter, he said, listen, before I ever came, you didn't have nothing to start with. And here comes Laban coming back and talking to his sons and his children, painting this picture of Jacob that he's stealing from Laban, when the fact is, Jacob's the reason that Laban's been blessed in the first place. You know, Laban, throughout these chapters, he's a good picture of the devil. Because the Bible says that he's deceived. The Bible says that he's beguiled. He is constantly doing things that we see our enemy doing. And I started thinking about that. That's really a good picture of what the devil has told mankind, and what the devil has told teenagers, and what the devil has told people that aren't serving the Lord. He likes to paint Jesus Christ as somebody that wants to steal from you and rob from you and take away from you. For instance, when I was young, I used to think if I went to church and got saved and started living for God, I was going to lose my friends. I was going to lose my joy, which I didn't have any. I was going to lose the thrills that I had. I thought I wasn't going to be able to enjoy my life. I'm going to have to go to church all the time. I'm going to have to read my Bible all the time. I'm going to have to change where I go, what I do, how I talk. And I'm telling you, that's how the world portrays Jesus Christ in the way that if I submit to Him, or if I get saved, then God's going to take away all these things. They portray Him as a robber, as a thief. But the truth is, man wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. Think of how little and how absolutely nothing this world would have if it were not for Jesus Christ. In fact, I guess you can look there. If you go back to Genesis chapter number 3, he does the same thing as Laban did, the devil does, in Genesis chapter number 3. Now watch this. Verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Watch this. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods. You know what he tricked Eve into believing? That God was trying to take away. God was trying not to let her be what she could be. That God was a robber. That God was a thief. And that's the complete opposite. Jesus Christ has given us every single thing we have. The devil's a liar. And because Adam believed that lie, he took that fruit. And because he took that fruit, that thing of death has been passed down to every single man. You understand? Because Adam ate that fruit, mankind, what was placed underneath this law of death, this law of sin, they were placed underneath the, I guess you would say, the power of the enemy. And that's why David says in Isaiah, or he says in Psalm, he says, I was shapen in iniquity. We're born with a sinful nature. The Bible says in Ephesians, we are the children of wrath. We are the children of disobedience. You understand? Every man that's born, in fact, when the Lord was talking to those Pharisees, he said, you're of your father, the devil. You know, we understand tonight, every man that's born into this world, he's not saved when he's born naturally. Come on, there's two fathers somebody can have. You're either of your father, the devil, or your father's God Almighty. That's why we understand the importance of being born again. That's where we get the importance of being converted and being made a new creature. No man's born saved. No man does a work on his own that makes him saved. We're saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, and we have a need to be regenerated. And so, man, this world needs to know Jesus Christ ain't after all your things. Man, we need to teach our children Jesus ain't after all your life, and you can't live, and you can't have this. Jesus Christ is offering them everything, and they have absolutely nothing without Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the Redeemer of mankind. Now look at verse number 2 and see if I say some of this stuff. About verse 3. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return to the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field and to his flock, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance that is not towards me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. Now listen, up to this point, you might disagree with me, but I don't believe Jacob be considered a saved man. I don't believe, you know, in the Old Testament, they're saved by grace through faith, and it takes some type of certain faith for them to be considered saved. I believe up to this point, he's not saved. But you know what he says in that verse? Look what he says in verse 5. He said, Jacob said to them, I see. See that phrase, I see. Something clicked for Jacob right here. I see your father's countenance, that it is not towards me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. You know what Jacob saw? Jacob saw the true nature of Laban. You understand what I'm saying? As a lost man, that's what happened to me as a lost man. Jacob saw the true nature of Laban, but at the same time, he also saw the goodness of God. And man, as a lost man, I never saw that. As a lost man, I never thought about the devil hating me. I never thought about the devil being against me. That never even crossed my mind. All I knew, I was enjoying this, we were doing that, I had a good time over here. At the same time I was doing that, I never thought one time about the goodness of God in my life. I never thought one time about God watching over me, or God taking care of me, or God keeping me safe in that accident, or God providing something for me. I'm telling you, I believe the whole time I was lost. There was a devil that hated me and hated you and wanted you to go to hell. And the same time, there was a God in heaven who was good to you and watching over you and taking care of you. That's the God that we serve. And he said, I see that. He said in verse number 6, now watch this. And you know with all my power, I have served your father. But that reminds me of my life. But that reminds me exactly of what I was when I lost man. I did everything in my power to really, I didn't really know about it, but I was just serving him and doing what he told me to do. That's exactly what we were like. Come on, you might not have got saved older, but before you got saved, you were with all your power serving your own flesh. Ain't that right? You were with all your power serving this world and serving your own lust and living for yourself. We were given everything we could to make sure we were pleasing self and pleasing the world and pleasing the devil. But he said in verse 7, and your father hath deceived me. How about that? Your father hath deceived me. Watch this. And changed my wages 10 times. Is that how it works? Come on, man. He says, listen, you follow me and get with this crowd and let them be your friends, and then you'll have what you're looking for. So you go after it, you let them be your friends, and you do things you ought not to do, and you get out there and you get stranded, you say, this ain't what I'm looking for. And then he changes those wages. He said, no, not there. Let me, you do this, then you'll get what you're looking for. You understand? That's the way the thing works. Come on, if you're here tonight, and you don't know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that's the game that's going on. I see it with my lost family. I got a sister-in-law right now. I'm telling you, every 2 years it changes. Well, if I just get married, you know, I'm not happy. I'm not happy right now, but if I just get married, then I'll find what I'm looking for. She's done that. That lasted about 2 years. Then she's back in the same old rut again. Well, if I just have a child, then I'll find what I'm looking for. Well, she's been through that. That didn't solve it. No, not that. It's not the child. You need a career. You get you that career. That's where you'll really find contentment right there. Got the career. That career is not good. Maybe another career. Maybe a house. Maybe a car. Maybe retirement, maybe a vacation spot. You're going to, listen, if you're lost, you're going to play that game till you die and spend eternity in hell. So he deceived me. He changed my wages 10 times. Look at verse 7. And your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. Don't you like this next little part? But God suffered him not to hurt me. You understand what Laban was doing the whole time? Come on, man. This makes me upset. The devil, my children, he's going to try to portray some picture to my children to try to get them to go out there and follow a crowd or follow a career or follow money and follow fame. And the whole time, all he wants is my children to be miserable and spend eternity in hell. You know what Jacob said? But God. Listen, some of us went this way, but God took care of us. We went that way. Come on, man. Some of us should be dead. We should be in hell. There's no reason we ought to be here, but God took care of us. That's what he said. Ephesians chapter number 2 says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's where we were, but God, who was rich in mercy. Ain't that it? That is a picture, if I've ever seen one. Thank God for his mercy. Amen. Exactly what it is. That's what he said. Now watch this in verse number 8. This is a blessing. If he said thus, the speckle shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckle. And if he said thus, the ring straight shall be their hire, then bear all the cattle ring straight. You got to understand the story a little bit to appreciate that. But that's God. Anything Laban said, God just made it work out for Jacob, not for Laban. Verse 9, thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. Listen, that sounds like redemption to me. Does anybody else see redemption right there? Look what he said in verse 9. Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and hath given them unto me. Listen, cattle's not just cows. Cattle's sheep and goats. You know, the Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Do you understand? You understand? That's a picture of mankind when Adam ate that fruit in that garden. I'm telling you, mankind got placed into the hand of the God of this world. Nobody else believes that? Come on, man. How come sin entered into the world? How come death passed upon all men? You understand, mankind as a whole, when Adam sinned, mankind had no hope. Ain't that right? Is that not true? The Bible says that God took the cattle out of the hands of Laban and he gave them unto Jacob. That's a picture of redemption. And here's what I like about it. This is so great to me. He said, just read one more verse, verse 10. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up my eyes and saw in the dream, and behold, the rams which sleep upon the cattle were ring straight, speckled, and gristled. You know what God did to Laban? This is so good to me. He just beat him at his own game. It was Laban's idea. All right, I'll take the white, you take the speckled. And God said, all right, Laban, if you're that dumb, we'll go ahead and do that. He just beat him at his own game. You understand how this thing of redemption worked? You know what Jesus did? You know what God did? He just beat the devil in his own game. You understand that? I'll tell you, this is such a... I want you to see it. I can just tell it and preach really, really good, but I'm not going to preach it. So go to Luke 22. I'll let you read it. It'll be better for me. Luke 22. I will show you some passages right here. I think they're true. If you disagree with me, you can disagree. I've been wrong on something else too. Luke chapter 22. Just forgive me and love me, all right? Luke 22. I want to show you this about this thing of redemption. How to me, it's such a picture with Laban. God beat Laban in his own game. And I believe with all my heart, God beat the devil in his own game. When God redeemed mankind, the devil thought he knew something. The devil thought he was pulling one over on God. Well, come on, man. There's no competition between God and the devil. Don't think God's here and like the devil's right here. You read Revelation 19 or 20. When he comes back, you talk about a bad ending to a movie. Here comes Jesus coming back. Here comes people coming back on white horses. Here comes all the nations gathering themselves together to fight. You would think there's going to be this big old drawn out 2-year war. What a terrible movie that would make. Just like that, it's over. You understand? There's no comparison. No comparison. Luke chapter 22, the Bible says, now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. See the plot? Chief priests, scribes, elders, we talked about them the first day I was here. They had a plan and they wanted to kill Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Then, entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way. That means Satan's leading him now. Ain't that right? And communed with the chief priest. Who's communing? Satan's communicating in him. Come on, it's not a trick. Help me. Satan enters into Judas. Then where does Judas go? Who's he under the control of? He entered into Judas. He went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains. What's he talking about? How he might betray him unto them. I heard this the other day. I don't even know who it is, and I'm not. It don't matter who it is. But I heard somebody say that Satan did everything he could to keep Jesus off the cross. I don't believe that. I believe Satan wanted him dead. I mean, here's the chief priest, and they're saying, all right, we want to kill him. Then Satan entered into Judas. What was Satan wanting? Satan was wanting Judas to hook up with the group that wanted to kill Jesus so that Judas could lead him back to Jesus so that they could take him and give him to Pilate so Pilate could put him on the cross. That was what Satan wanted. You know, God said, all right. That's what you want. All right. Listen, he's the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. I mean, this thing was in the works before ever the first person was ever born. But I'm just telling you that we got a great big God who's past finding out, who's past knowledge, nobody understands his knowledge. He is a God that is so far above all else. And he took what the devil tried to do and he took that thing and he used it for the redemption of mankind. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse number 9. You could read all this if you want to. It's just talking about our salvation. Verse number 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what of what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. That passage is telling us that when those Old Testament saints and those Old Testament prophets were pinning down those wonderful prophecies about Jesus Christ, they didn't really have a grasp of what they were talking about. You read the Old Testament, Psalm 22, Isaiah 53. Come on, we read that and we know beyond any shadow of a doubt that's Jesus Christ as clear as a bell. I'm telling you, when the psalmist wrote that, when Isaiah wrote that, he didn't know what he was talking about. He didn't know. Those people in the Old Testament didn't know about the cross. They didn't understand Jesus Christ was going to be whipped and scourged. They didn't know that was Him that was giving His back to the smiters. They didn't know it was Him that they said, they're going to plow my back. They're going to make long their furrows. They gave him vinegar to drink. You understand? They didn't know what they were talking about. Well, look at Colossians chapter number 1. I'll tell you, you need another one. Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians 1, verse number 25. The Bible says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations. Now watch. But now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see what he's saying? Here's all I'm trying to get. This is the only point I'm trying to make. It's that the devil had no idea what he thought. He didn't know what he was doing. He saw Christ there, and he knows he's the Son of God. And I'll just tell you, the devil said, we got to get rid of him. And he finds a group of men. He says, hey, they're wanting to kill him. He enters into Judas. And I'll tell you, the whole plan the whole time is to get Jesus Christ on that cross. And I'm telling you, God just said, all right, if that's what you're calling, that's what we're going to do. God used exactly what he wanted to do and used that for the redemption of mankind. I just think it's wonderful. Even you might not care, but I think it's great. Even after they put him in the tomb, they went and they said, hey, they weren't worried about it rising the third day. They didn't think that was possible. They weren't stealing the tomb to keep him in from him getting up and walking out. They didn't want the disciples getting there and stealing his body. And so they just do everything they can. And you got it in writing. Those men did every single thing they could to make sure nobody got in and nobody got out. But yet on the third day, Jesus Christ walked out of that tomb. He ascended up into heaven. He's sitting on the right hand of God, and God is still using that to present redemption to mankind. It's a blessing. You read about Fox Book of Martyrs in those dark ages. And they had in their mind, we're going to get rid of this thing. We're going to get rid of the Word of God. And here they are putting men and women on posts and setting them on fire. They're impaling women. They're doing things that are unimaginable. You couldn't even talk about from a pulpit. And yet God used that thing and His Word spread abroad this whole entire world. God always takes what the devil tries to use and He uses it for the embetterment and for the furtherance of the gospel. I'm glad on His side. I want to be on His side. I'm glad I've been saved. Amen. All right, go back. We'll finish up. Genesis 31. Now watch this. Verse number 11. Now just catch this. An angel of God spake unto me in a dream. Jacob said, the angel of God, it's God Himself, spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here am I. Now watch this. This is such a blessing. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ringstrake, speckled, and gristled. He said, Jacob, I want you to see everything I've done. I want you to see everything that took place before your eyes. I did that. And look what he says in the rest of the verse. He tells you why he did it. He says, for I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. You know what he said? Listen, you know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like a God of compassion. You know, Jacob, why I did what I did? I did it because I looked down there and I saw what Laban was doing to you. And I just had to come down there and get involved. Is that not our God? The God that looks down the affairs of man and is interested. Thank God He's interested in your life and in my life. Do you not just see the same picture as He looked down there and He saw Adam down there and He knew He was going to take that fruit. But He looked down there and He saw exactly what that serpent did to Adam. Come on, he saw that. And you know what he does? He doesn't break forth through the clouds and come down there and pick up a big old branch and knock Adam upside the head and say, what in the world are you doing? No, he comes down there and he gets in the middle of it and he gets involved He goes and grabs him a perfect little animal, and he takes him off to the side, and he slits his throat, and he cuts that skin off of him. He says, Adam and Eve, you come over to me. And he takes that clothing, and he wraps them up and covers them, because he saw exactly what Satan had done, and he had a heart of compassion. It's a blessing to me. It's a blessing to me. He did that for mankind. You understand? That's what the cross is all about. He looked down there and he saw mankind and he saw the condition that they were in. And year after year, high priest would go into that holiest place and it worked for about a year and it wouldn't cover. It wouldn't do exactly what it, you know what God did? God looked down there and saw exactly what sin and Satan had done to mankind. You know what he did? He sent his only begotten son. Come on, you understand tonight, if you're lost, you're not getting saved any other way. But there's no other sacrifice. There's no other works. There's nothing man can do. We were completely without hope. We had no hope whatsoever of salvation. And God looked down there on mankind. I'm talking about with compassion and with mercy. And he sent his only begotten son in this world. And he was sacrificed as the Lamb of God. He died on the cross for our sin because God was a God of compassion. And even this, even after God has done all that, you know what he does on an individual basis? He looks down on individuals' lives and he looks at them and he sees them messed up. He sees them strung out. He sees their lives a wreck. He sees them strung out on drugs. He sees them drunks, fornicating. And I'll tell you what God does. He looks down. He says, I've seen what sin's done to you, and I've seen what Satan's done to you. And I'm telling you, the same God that saw Jacob and saw what Laban did, he sees man for what's going on in his life, and he gets involved with a heart of compassion, and he moves towards us in compassion so that we might be redeemed on an individual basis. I think it's a blessing. I think it's a blessing. Verse 13. He says, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get out from this land, and return to the land of thy kindred. He brought that up for a reason. I want you to look at it. Look at 28, chapter 28, real quick. Look at verse number 19. God brought that up for a reason. Watch this. Verse 19, and Jacob called the place, named that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, this is what God's talking about, chapter 31. If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I can come again to my father's house in peace. Look at this. Then shall the Lord be my God. That's why I don't think Jacob's saved yet. He's never really called him his Lord. He's never really admitted that he's his God. He's always been the God of my father. But the reason God brings that up in chapter 31 is because I remember what you said back in 28. I heard what you said. You said, if there's any way I could get you back to my father, if there's any way I could get you back to your father, then you would make me your God. God says, I heard that. And I'm telling you, that's exactly what God did. God came down there and got involved and gave him a way to get back to the Father. Listen, is that not what he did for mankind? Come on, that's exactly. Do you not see mankind say, man, if there's any way we could get back to the Father? You understand, that's redemption. Come on, when Adam sold out in the garden, we were born the sons of God. Adam was born a son of God. But when he sold out in the garden, it's like he was taken from being God's child and God's son, and his father became the devil. You have to see mankind in a hopeless state saying, man, if there's any way somebody could come down here and get me back to my father, we sure would make him our God. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. He came down here and paved the way so that we could get back to the Father. That's why I called on him. Come on, is that not why that's why I called on him? Come on, if I thought I could be good enough to get to him, I'd just keep doing my best. If I thought jumping in the baptistry could get me to them, I'd jump in the baptistry. If I thought taking the Eucharist could get me to them, I'd just go take that bread and take that wine. None of those things work. None of those things work. Jesus Christ, putting faith in Him and what He did on Calvary, is the only way to get back to the Father. He's the way, the truth, and the life. That's why we called upon Him. All right. Don't worry, we're not finishing the whole chapter. Don't get nervous. I can tell. Verse 14, just watch this. And Rachel and Leah, that's Laban's children, that's his daughters, answered and said unto him, is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? You know what they just said? There's nothing here for us. Here's Laban's children sitting there looking around and said, man, there's nothing. If we stay here, there's nothing here for us. The Bible says, for what shall profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Come on, man. You don't know Jesus Christ. There's nothing here for you. That rich man in Luke 16, he died without Christ. He fared sumptuously every day. And he died and lift up his eyes in hell, and he can't buy a drink of water. He can't buy one drop of water. Ain't that right? Come on, that other rich man said, I need more barns. And God says, You're a fool. There's nothing here in this world. He said in verse 15, are we not counted of him strangers? For he hath sold us. And hath quite, does this not sound like the devil? Hath quite devoured also our money. That's his own daughters. You understand tonight the value you have to the devil? All he wants to do is steal and kill and destroy and devour and rob. He wants to take your family. He wants to take your children. He wants to take your home. He wants to take your marriage. He wants to take your testimony. He hates you with everything he has. All he wants is for you to spend eternity in the lake of fire with him. Do you know the value you have to the Lord tonight? Do you know the value you have to our God tonight? The Bible says this, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot, without blemish. You know what God says He gave for you? Come on, man. Whatever something's worth, it's just whatever you're willing to give for it. Come on, if I had a cup of water right here, you're dying of thirst. And I said, all right, this cup of water right here, you can have it, but it's worth $5. Well, it just depends on how much you think that water's worth. You ain't very thirsty, you're not going to get $5 for a cup of water, especially after I drank out of it. Come on, man, you had nothing to drink in 3 days, and you ain't got strength to go out the door. You gladly pay. It's worth that. Come on, man, God gave His only begotten Son and redeemed us. The price, the ransom paid, was the blood of Jesus Christ. You understand how much Jesus values you? Come on, you young people, you understand how much Jesus loves you? Well, the devil's going to tell you he wants to rob you of your life. He don't care about you. He wants to take away your joy. He wants to take away your friends. He don't want you to have a good time. I'm telling you exactly what the world says. I'm here to tell you Jesus loves you. Jesus gave you the best life, the best life. The last verse I want to read here in this chapter is this, in verse 16. For all the riches which God hath taken from our father, look at this, that is ours and our children's. Now then, whatsoever God has said to thee, do. You know, all these riches, here what they say, they're ours. They're ours. I want to start in one place I want to read. I'm done. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, I'm done. I want you to see what Paul said to them in chapter 1. Look at verse number 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and loving all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now watch this. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. He says, I want you to know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in time past, and the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now watch this. That in the ages to come, He might show, look at this, the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. Paul prayed that those people at Ephesus would have their eyes open so they could just see exactly how good God's been to them. I want you, church, in Ephesus to see exactly what you were, exactly who you belonged to, exactly where you were heading. And I want your eyes to be open and understand, had it not been for Jesus Christ, who come down here and was born of a virgin, had it not been for Jesus Christ that lived a sinless life and went to the cross as a lamb that died for the sins of mankind, you would still be yet in your sins. You would have no hope. You'd spend eternity in a lake of fire. But Jesus Christ came and redeemed us from hell. He redeemed us from death. He redeemed us from sin. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. All of that is because of Jesus. And He said in the ages to come, you know what we're going to find out? Exactly how bad off we really were. It's what we're going to learn. We're going to see it for the first time in our life. We're going to get all this carnality out of our eyes and out of our life. And God's going to open up the floodgates. And He's going to let us see exactly the kind of trouble we were in. And exactly the sacrifice that it took to get us out of that possession of the devil into the hands of an almighty God. And for eternity, we're going to learn about His grace. And I'm going to tell you, church, it sure would pay off for us on this side of eternity. Not just to sit back and say, man, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm not going to hell. And let that be it. Come on, man. You're never going to appreciate that book. You're never really going to be able to appreciate Christ. You're never going to be able to appreciate the preaching and the witnessing. Man, if you don't really get in there and understand what Jesus really did. When I got saved, I know a lot about the Bible. But honestly, when I got saved, really what I knew was, all right, I'm saved. I'm glad I don't have to go to hell. then I go into church and start reading the Bible. And I start to learn about it. It's a whole lot more than that. But I just wasn't going to hell, man. Mankind was in a mess, and we needed justification and sanctification and redemption and reconciliation. And Jesus had to be the ransom and the propitiation. You understand what I'm saying? And you start understanding some of that, and I'm telling you, the greatest joy is to walk out those doors and find people who are still in captivity and still who have never been born again and tell them there's an awfully wonderful Savior. Man, if you just trust Him, He won't just let you go to heaven. That's just kind of like icing on the cake. He gives you eternal life. All those things the devil said, chase this and you'll get this and chase that and get that. He was lying. None of those things worked. The whole time I was looking for it there, the whole time it wasn't in us, it was just in Christ. It was in Jesus. I tell you where I come. I tell you that joy. I tell you the joy of serving God. It comes when you really start finding out exactly what Jesus Christ did for you. He's been good to you. Whether you understand, I don't understand it all. Whether we understand it all or not, Jesus, He deserves everything we got. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior. Praise you, God. Father, I love you. Lord, I sure love you. Sure love your word. Sure thank you for allowing us to look at it tonight. Please use it for your glory. And Lord, it sure has burdened me. Lord, maybe some people are lost. They don't know you. And maybe you'd open their eyes. And Lord, they just need to see, just like Jacob needed to see. I needed to see. We were blinded, Lord. We were born in darkness. And Lord, we just need the light to come on. I'm asking you, please, Lord, please shine that light. Please. Lord, please let your gospel shine. And Lord, help somebody see they need to be saved. Or maybe somebody just appreciates you more. That'd be worth every bit tonight. If somebody would walk out here just appreciating you more than they did when they come in. And Lord, I want to tell you tonight, I love you. Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand, please. Get your hymn book, if you will. What page, Brother Tim?
63.
163, Only Trust Him Now.